Who's glad that Jesus made a way for you back to your Heavenly Father? Let me just tell you, if you're here today and you're up against some things, Jesus is, he will not just make a way, he is the way, amen? The truth and the life. If you got your Bibles with you this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 16. And as you're turning there, there's something else that we want to do that's really special today and a little bit bittersweet, but we know that God's up to something. And I want to just recognize some special leaders that God is transitioning out because of their service in the United States military. And that's Lieutenant Colonel Zach Mundell and his wife Julie and their precious family. And Zach and Julie, would you just stand? And then your kids are probably all either in children's ministry or serving. Yeah, come on. Come on, give them some big Rev City love. Listen, we honor you for your service to our nation and for your service to the Lord and the kingdom of God. And while you guys have been here, you have been a tremendous blessing to this church family. And many lives touched, many ministries strengthened. Yeah, come on, it's hard to give them too much love. Part of Zach's assignment now is taking them to Fort Hood, is that right? And Texas, if you can't be in lovely Lawrence, Kansas, Texas isn't the worst place that you could land. But I believe it's about a 2-year assignment that you have there, and then their heart is and their hope is, and I think it's even part of the plan for them to be back in Lawrence, Kansas. And so, yeah, come on, that's good news too. But we bless you, we honor you, and would you just extend your hands towards them and pray for them and their family as they serve this nation in the U.S. Army and as they serve the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere that their foot shall tread, amen? Whether they're in Lawrence or Fort Hood, Texas, or wherever it is that the Lord takes Zach to in his service to this nation. We thank you, Lord, that your strong hand and your mighty hand will uphold them and protect them, God. And we thank you for your protection, your provision, your direction over their life, their marriage, their family, their finances. Zach's service to the military, Lord, the way that you're preparing him and raising him up. We thank you, God, that there are kingdom believers, spirit-filled believers that you've inserted into places of governance and leadership and in the United States military, and we just affirm them and bless them. And, Lord, we thank you for the blessing they've been, the difference they've made in this church, Lord, and we thank you that you'd lead them to the place that you would have for them to serve and connect and continue to be strengthened and raised up, God, in every one of their kingdom callings. Is there a way from us? And we, Lord, we believe and we receive, Lord, just the opportunity that you would reconnect them to this church family when that assignment is done in Texas. But in the meantime, God, we release them to you and we bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. We honor you, Zach and Julie and your family, and we bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And all God's precious people said, come on with the shout, amen, amen, amen. Give them some love one more time. And just so grateful and thankful for everything that the Lord's doing in our church, and grateful that you're here and grateful that you're a part of it. I want to continue to just encourage you to lean in and become a part of it in a greater way. VBS this week, come on, if you haven't already, go and find Gabrielle and come help us this week to help those little kids just discover the reality that Jesus saves, amen? And how many know some of those kids are going to come and hear that for the first time, and they're going to go back into their homes and they're going to go back into their families as little evangelists for Jesus Christ. Come on, it's more than just a fun week. It's more than just a day camp. Come on, we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news to the littlest of these. And I appreciate that, and I think it has become the biggest registration that we've ever had. Gabrielle stepped out and she said, I want to dream big and believe that God will bring 200 young people to come into through these doors. And so we're still believing. The reason we still need those four, and I love Neva's faith, 6. Come on, people. To step in and help us to serve, as we want to leave registration open right until the last minute. And so thank you for coming and serving. I appreciate Walton and Keem and the International Connections Ministry and all the impact that that's made over the years. And maybe that's the place that God would begin to stir your heart to go and find them this morning and say, how can I help? How can I serve? How can I lend what God's done in my life to what God's doing there and to reach people again with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And we're going and we're picking people up from the airport and we're helping them get established in Lawrence. But all the while, we're preaching and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ through the way we live and the things we share. Amen. Come on, amen. Amen, amen, amen. And I've been talking to you recently about trusting God. And God's invitation to us as we entered into 2018, it's always his invitation, but I just felt as I was just seeking him, saying, Lord, what do you want to speak? What do you want to affirm? What do you want to do in our church family in 2018? And he just began to speak to me how his heart, his invitation to us as a church and to every one of us was to draw nearer and to grow closer and to go deeper. And God wants to take you beyond just being a believer. He wants to take you beyond. We're not called to just make believers. We're called to make disciples. Amen. And that's my heart, my passion for you, for every one of you. Come on, look at your neighbor. Say, it's for you. It's for you. It's for you to go beyond just being a believer and become a disciple, to become a follower of Christ, to begin to know him and to begin to trust him and to begin to follow him, to begin to discover all the purposes and the things that he had in his heart when he reached out and saved you through the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the good news of Jesus. He didn't just save you to get you to heaven. He saved you to get heaven into your life. And we believe to get to heaven. And come on, that's a good promise. Who's grateful that you're forgiven and on your and heaven bound? That's good news. That's good news. But God's heart is that we grow from believing to becoming disciples and followers. And when we grow, go beyond believing, which covers our sin and establishes our eternal position of relationship with God our Father, we begin to grow as disciples and followers of God, and God begins to use us to bring heaven to earth. Come on, isn't it how Jesus instructed us to even pray? How did he instruct us to pray? He said, your will be done, your kingdom come. How? On earth as what? As it is in heaven. We believe and we receive eternal life, that our destination to heaven, but we begin to grow as disciples and as followers of Christ, and God begins to use us to bring heaven to earth. Come on, that's his heart for you. That's my heart, my passion for every one of you to grow. Come on, there's really only three options. A year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, you'll be worse off, you'll be stuck where you're at, or you'll be further along in your relationship with God and your knowledge of who you are in him. And I'm just telling you, for me, there's only one acceptable result. And it's to be closer, it's to be nearer, it's to be deeper in the things of God. As a man, as a husband, as a leader in this church, as an influence in your workplace, all those things, God has more for you. His desire is for you to grow. Wherever you are today, whether you're here just seeking God or searching for him, or whether you've served him for many years, his desire is for you to continue to grow. Come on, even if you're in a position of strength and you're right with God today, God's word says he wants you to grow from strength to strength and glory to glory. There's more for you. This is the heart of God. So Matthew 6:10 says, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 16 is where I told you to turn. And it says this, readings picking up in verse 13. And if you have your Bible, read along, or they'll put it up on the screen behind me. And it says this, it says, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Come on, that's still resonating as the most important question. And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Come on, that's what I want you to catch this morning. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Against what? Against the church that's being built on the revelation of who Jesus really is. And he says, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound where? In heaven. And whatever you loose where? On earth shall be loosed in heaven. Listen, God has called us as believers to live in the anointing and the victory and the authority of Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus made possible for us on the cross of Calvary and through his resurrection life, that's what we're called to live in. Come on, he's saying, I'm coming and I died to build more than just a religious organization. I'm coming and I'm dying to restore what was God's rightful intent when he created man, was to live in dominion and live in relationship and live in authority and live in victory. He said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. What was lost was that right standing with God, that relationship. It's all from a posture and a position of God's heart for you as a father. But his heart for you in relationship is that you walk in the freedom and the victory and the life and the authority. He says, I give you the keys to my kingdom. And you say, well, Pastor T, if that's true, why are so many Christians? Why are so many people, even Christians, getting beat up and getting cast around? Why are so many people on sinking ships? And I want to bring a message this morning that really is a reminder to many and a revelation to some. And in many ways, it's a visionary message. And in many ways, it's preparing a foundation for what I believe the Lord is going to begin to speak through the remainder of the summer, to continue to just raise us up as a church, as disciples and followers, and to continue to help us to know everything that Jesus made possible and wants desperately for you to walk in. The power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the weapons of a warfare that are not carnal but mighty for the pulling down of strongholds and the building of God's kingdom. And so I want to bring a message this morning that, again, is foundational and is beginning to just kind of kick the door open on some things I believe the Lord is putting on my heart to share with you in the coming weeks about who you are in Christ, your identity, and the things that God's gifted and called you to walk in. And he's called us to walk in victory. And again, you say, well, but Pastor T, why are so many people getting beat up? And I believe that, unfortunately, it's because much of the church at large has lost its way. Much of the church at large has become distracted. Much of the church at large has become discouraged, or even in some places, sadly, deceived. And we've forgotten who Jesus came to make us and who he said that we would be and who he's called us to be and become. We've allowed the condition of our culture to influence us more than the words of Jesus. And right in the beginning, when he's saying, this is who I am, and flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but God, my heavenly Father, and upon this rock, Peter was the rock, but the rock was the revelation about who Jesus was. The Christ, the anointed one, the one that came to break the yoke of slavery and bondage and connect us back to the life abundantly and eternal that God always had in his heart for you and for me. That's the rock. That's the revelation. He said, upon that rock that I'm building my church, he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. I'll give you the keys. I'll give you the victory. I'll give you the authority. And here's what I want to unpack two things, and they're closely related. Number one is that the church was built and established for battle. It says the gates of hell shall not prevail. Against who? Against the church. Who's the church? Come on, we are. Is the church a building? Come on, we meet in a building sometimes, but the church is living stones, amen? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you are the church. Come on, look at your other neighbor who was your second choice and say, I am the church. And he's building us. He's establishing us. And he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Right from the beginning, right when he's establishing it. How many know that when you're establishing something, what you say is significant? And Jesus is saying, this is what I'm building, and this is what I'm establishing, and this is my heart. This is my purpose. The gates of hell shall not prevail. And you know, gates, I've never seen gates chasing people down. Think about it. Gates are something that are built to what? Keep people in or keep certain people out. And he says there are gates that the enemy has established in people's life that are hindering people, cutting people off, and keeping people from the fullness of what I have in my heart for them. And he said, I'm raising up a people, and I'm establishing something that is going to begin to attack those gates and bring them down, and you'll have the power, and you'll have the victory that I'm purchasing for you, and those gates will not prevail against you. Come on, someone better clap better than that, because that's good news. It's time for the church to be reminded. Come on, it's something I feel stirring in my heart. It's time for the church to be reminded of who we really are and what God was really up to when he birthed the church through Jesus Christ. We're built for battle. The gates of hell shall not prevail. We're called to be an active force of restoration, salvation, and hope, and freedom, and victory. That's who we are. And the church at large, while the church at large is fussing about carpet colors and volume levels and who we should elect as the next president of the bake sale committee, people are dying and going to hell. And marriages are ending because of the spirit of divorce that's coming against our nation. And young people are being caught up in the deceptions and the webs and the traps of the enemy. And there's a wave of confusion coming against them and their identity, even against their gender and their sexuality and who they are and how God created them. And it's time for the church to begin to once again bombard those gates that the enemy is building in people's lives with the truth of God's love. Come on, I've told you before, and it's worth saying again, God's called us to be the most compassionate people. There's three C's: compassion, conviction, and courage. And we're going to be the most compassionate people. People really are up against things. There are real gates that the enemy has inserted in people's lives. And there are real lies, and there are real deceptions, and there are real challenges, and there are real bondages, and there are real chains, and we ought to be moved just as Jesus was. Many times before he stepped in and did miracles, it says he was moved with compassion. It's not our place to judge. Come on, lost people just going to be lost people. And before we got saved, that's right where you and I were, lest we forget. Moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. We have a conviction that Jesus is the life. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. And the compassion that we have and the conviction we have begins to lead us to minister and live with courage that overcomes the fear of man and what they're going to think and what they might say. Come on, there's more at stake than that. We've got to overcome what the fear of what people might say or think. People's eternal destination is on the line. And their present tense, their present day, joy and peace and fulfillment in life is on the line. Jesus established us for battle. He said, I'm building my church, and you're going to be a force for righteousness. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. It's who we are. It's who we are. As long as I'm blessed and have the privilege, come on, it's a privilege that I receive with humility to have this pulpit and to speak over your lives and speak over your marriages and speak into the atmosphere of this church and this city. We're going to have an aggressive vision to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to go at it until all are saved. Come on, let's make it impossible to go to hell from Lawrence, Kansas. Because there are so many blood-bought, spirit-filled, rightfully equipped and activated believers in every sphere of influence, in the workplace, in the schoolhouse, in the courthouse, every place that God takes us, we're there and we understand we're salt and light. And we're preserving this world until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're shining the light on darkness to bring people into a glorious life. Come on, aren't you glad that Jesus called your name and we came running out on that glorious day? That's who he's created us to be. It's who he called us to be. And so in the coming weeks, we're going to begin to talk about what it means to stand in these places and what God means when he said your weapons aren't carnal, they're not fleshly, they're not of this earth. What he means when he says, but they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. What he means when he says you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Your battle's not against your spouse. Your battle's not against your boss. There's a spiritual realm that is influencing people. And there are some tools that I've given you. In the next few weeks, we're going to get into, Lord, what does that mean? And how do I begin to apprehend and receive and begin to become trained up so I can begin to be released to make a difference according to the way you would call me to make a difference? We're called to declare. We're called to reveal the victory of Jesus Christ. Come on, it's who we are. People ask me, they say, well, what's your vision? You know, and I tell them, we'll revive people to life in Christ. See a city transformed. See the spiritual atmosphere of a city transformed and revived in Jesus Christ. And sometimes they say, well, but what's your vision? How many people are you trying to reach? And I'll say, you know what, we might have some goals, we might have some markers to measure our effectiveness, but the kind of aggressive vision that we're going to have is until every person in Lawrence, Kansas, and the surrounding region that isn't currently connected to a life-giving relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ is saved. And if there's one more person that needs to hear that, if there's one more person that's in bondage, if there's one more person that's separated, we're going to go and we're going to tell. Come on, the enemy is aggressive. If you don't believe it, just turn on your television or just walk down the street in Lawrence, Kansas. And he's bombarding people and he's attacking people. And I believe it's time for the church to have a greater faith. And I believe it's time for the church to have an equally aggressive vision. And I believe it's time for us to outgive and outspend and outreach and outgo the enemy and go reach into those places and say, come on, there's a better way and his name is Jesus Christ. And I once was lost, but now I'm found. And let me begin to tell you what the Lord did for me. And let me share with you how he restored my heart and healed my heart. And let me tell you what he did in my life. Let me tell you what he did in my marriage. Let me tell you what he did in my health. And he'll do the same for you because he loves you. The church is called to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. And listen, as we embrace the call to go deeper, and that's really what I believe the Lord is really just highlighting to me, that he called us in 2018 to draw nearer and to grow closer and to go deeper. I just want to establish something. Going deeper doesn't mean getting weirder. And it doesn't mean that we no longer have any fun in church. Come on, how many know that church ought to be fun and that believers ought to be life-giving and we ought to be shining the light? Come on a good Sunday, we ought to sing, we ought to dance, we ought to clap, we ought to laugh. We ought to enjoy it all in the middle of it all. We ought to see people get set free from bondages, strongholds, demonic influences, all at the same time. And so going deeper and walking in this authority, understanding that there's a spiritual realm and being trained up and equipped to do spiritual warfare doesn't mean that you have to get weird. It just means you begin to understand and you begin to be raised up. And in fact, then God begins to just show you how he's inserted you in that workplace for such a time as this. We begin to just walk in what God's made us. Come on, just naturally supernatural. Just being and doing who God made possible for us to be. We don't have to look. Come on, maybe sometimes God will do some stuff that kind of stretches our thinking. But we just go about. Come on, the word says, as you go, preach and proclaim. As you go, preach and proclaim. As you go to work, as you go to school, as you drop your kids off, as you go to the sports event, as you go, just proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near. And it's happened because of the love of the Father through Jesus Christ. Come on, the church ought to be the most fun, life-giving, hopeful, inspirational place in the world. And it ought to impact marriage, and it ought to impact family, and it ought to impact workplaces. It ought to impact friendships. It ought to impact relationships. It ought to impact this community. He said, on this rock, who I am and who I've made you and what I've made possible, what I've set you free from and who I've called you to be, I'm building my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. We're built for battle. Here's number two. We win. We win the battle. Listen, there's a battle that's warring and raging and there's going to be some skirmishes, but we win. We win the battle. And you know, I was reminded, because it's important. This is foundationally important. Come on, if you hear nothing else, hear this morning. We are called to live in victory. And even when we're warring and going to battle, even when we're engaging in spiritual warfare, even when we're pressing in this season to learn and discern and be raised up and trained up in our spiritual gifts so that we can be more effective than this, we got to understand the platform that we war from is a platform and a position of peace and victory. The victory is certain. The victory belongs to God. And he's called us to be ambassadors, and he's established a military outpost here to enforce the victory that he made possible through his blood on Calvary. Amen? So just know there's going to be some battles. There's going to be some skirmishes. But even in the midst of the battle, you got to be reminded that you win. You win. You win. You know, and I was reminded of a time where I had a church event or something going on. And there was a big Jayhawks game that's going on. Come on, we're from Texas, but we've quickly become big Jayhawks fans. Some of you guys have rubbed off on us. And so we were looking forward to going home and watching this game. And thank God for DVRs. Come on. That work. And thank God that we no longer risk taping over your wedding when you record the game. Come on, who's ever done something like that? Who remembers the 80s? Where's my VHS people? Where's my beta people? Who remembers, speaking of battle, who remembers that? So, come on, back to holy things, Pastor T. So we DVR'd the Jayhawks game, and we were pumped to go home and watch it. And one of you, I'm not going to make eye contact, ruined it and told me the outcome before I got home. So I knew the score, and I, at first I was kind of like, but you couldn't help it. You just love your Jayhawks too, you know. And so I got home, and I was watching it with some family members and a couple of friends that were there, and they did not know the outcome of the game, and I did. And here's the phenomenon that I began to see happen. In the fourth quarter, we were down by 12, and they were sweating bullets. And I knew that we won, and so I was just eating chips and dip. I was on my third cream soda. And I was just content. And these folks were just like nervous as cats, you know, and they were just anxious because they thought we were going to lose this important game. I knew because one of you had opened your big mouth that we won the game. And can I just tell you, watching that game, I watched this, and it was a tie game, and then we were down by 2, then we were down by 4, then we were down by 8, then we're making a run, we were down by 10, we were down by 12, and they're sitting on the edge of their seat, and I know that we come back and win at the end. And so I'm just sitting there cool as a cucumber. Come on, that's how the Word of God is. Come on, turn to the end of the book. You win. We win. The church wins. You might say, well, Pastor T, I'm down by 10, I'm down by 12. You're going to win. But Pastor T, I got this diagnosis. You're going to win. But Pastor T, I lost my spot. But you're going to win. Death has lost its sting. Where is its victory? Come on, at the end, it ends with a feast and a family and ruling and reigning. Come on, we win. And so can you see our position, our posture as we lean in and we say, God, we want to go deeper and we want to begin to be trained up so that we can engage in the spiritual battle that's going on over our homes, over our hearts, over our hands, over our church, over our city, over our nation. That we know that we want to become it. We want to engage. And so we want you to train us and equip us and raise us up and release us. But we know all along as we battle from a position of victory. Come on, we can fast forward to the end of the game and we can see. And God knew well enough to just say, hey, you're going to go through some things. And there's going to be some battles and there's going to be some moments. But in the end, we win. Amen. Amen. Come on, worship team, come up and prepare to help us dismiss. And can I just ask the people of God, come on, I got faith for all of you to respond today. Would you just stand to your feet? Stand to your feet. And as you're standing, I want to give an invitation. It's the most important invitation that we give. Any service, anytime we're gathering, and it's the invitation for you to receive and to begin to walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. It's an invitation to you to begin to walk in a relationship with your Heavenly Father that was purchased for you, not because of your own goodness or not because of anything you could do, but just because of the grace of God and the love of a Heavenly Father. And He loved you so much, not just your neighbor, you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross and to pay the price for your sin and to make a way that you could have a new start at life that includes a relationship with a good Heavenly Father. And if that's you today, all I'm going to ask you to do is just respond. It's between you and God, but I want you to just reach out. Come on, it's in your heart that it has to happen, but it begins to compel you to live differently and begin to take steps of faith. And what I want to ask you to do this morning is that first step of faith is just lift your hand high in the sky. Come on, don't wait. Just say, that's me. That's me. And I'm responding. I'm recognizing my need for a Savior, and I'm responding to the free gift of salvation that happens through faith and by grace in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Come on, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One more moment. I just sense there's a special atmosphere. Maybe there's a couple of you who you're just kind of wrestling over that decision today, and I'm just telling you, come on, quit wrestling. Jump back in. Maybe you already made that commitment at one time, but you know that you haven't been living in this victory, in this relationship, in this place of peace, and this posture of victory that Jesus has made possible. And if that's you, come on, just say, I'm back in and I'm all in. I'm back in and I'm all in. Just lift your hand high to the Lord. High to the Lord. And come on, because we're a family, because we're the family of God, can we all just repeat after me and pray this along with our brothers and sisters who are responding this morning? Come on, repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior, and I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price for my sin, to make a way for me to be forgiven and made new. I declare Jesus is Lord, and I give you my heart. I give you my life. I put my trust in you. I believe, I will trust, and I will follow, and I'll never be the same. Come on, I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. And all God's people, come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, we win. We win. Come on, keep celebrating. We win. Jesus is greater. Greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. Whatever you're up against, you win. Whatever you're up against, He wins through you. Amen. Come on, let's praise and celebrate, and then I'll come back up and dismiss us here in a moment.